His service is my sweetest delight, His blessings ever flow. That's a great last verse leading into the sermon. Because that's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at the old man versus the new man this morning. And we're going to try to connect some dots with the sermon from last week, the lesson from last week on 1 John 4 and how God's love is perfected in us. And so you might notice that the last verse of this particular section, Ephesians 4, verse 17, I've got that going through Ephesians 5 and verse 2. I don't care much for that chapter break there at the end of Ephesians 4. I don't know what they were thinking when they broke the chapter there, because I believe that 5, 1, and 2 is part of that thought process that Paul is taking us through all the way through from verse 17. And so you notice he says, therefore, in verse 1 of Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I believe that connects back with putting on the new man. I believe it connects with taking off the old man. And I believe it's integral to the concept of what it means to do that. To put off the old man and to put on the new man results in walking in love. And so I'm going to show that with you this morning. Let's read the section, though, in Ephesians 4, verse 17. He says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So much in this text here, but notice that the idea is that, in general, that the Gentiles are walking in the futility of their mind, darkened in their understanding. In what sense? They're selfish. They have deceitful desires. They're walking in selfishness. And so he says, you need to put on the new man, which is created in the likeness of God. You're going to become like God. And in that sense, he concludes with the section of walking in love, because God is just the opposite of how the Gentiles were thinking and how they were acting, behaving. They were acting selfishly. And if you've learned Christ and you put on the new man, then you are walking in love and you're imitating God. So this idea of being recreated or created anew, putting on the new man, the new self, is what God wants of us and what he's trying to accomplish in us so that we might become more like him. And the ultimate conclusion of that is that we walk in love. So you see how those verses connect all the way through chapter 5 and verse 2. And I want to show you that in a little more detail here as we look at each one of these aspects that he mentions of putting on the new man, taking off the old man. He says, putting away lying, speak truth with one another, for we're members of one another. I would like to suggest to you that it's not just the idea of stopping lying. It's the idea of thinking about the fact that we are members one of another, that we speak truth with one another because we love each other. And when we don't speak truth with one another, we don't love each other. I believe each one of these that he mentions here, as we go down through this list, has to do with the concept of loving one another. Be angry and sin not. What happens when you sin in anger? Well, Jesus equated it with murder. When you're angry with your brother, you're hurting your brother. You're doing harm to your brother or your sister when you're angry with them. So be angry and sin not, he says. So the idea of taking off the old man is one thing, but the real focus here in all of these examples is putting on the new man in love, walking in love, not hurting your brother, but doing good to your brother. Think about the next one. Don't steal. If that's what you've been doing, be an honest person now. Put off that old man. That old man stole. Well, what did that old man, why did he steal? And what did he do when he stole? He did it out of deceitful desires and he hurt people. But instead, you work with your hands so that what? So that you can share. So that you can share. Everything about the new man that's being put on focuses in on what we do for one another. And this is the concept I want to get at this morning and really enlarge in our minds. That the testing place, if you want to use that term, testing place for us putting on the new man is the church. It's our family here. All of these things that we're going to be looking at this morning, you're going to see it over and over and over again. One another, one another, one another. I'm going to show you that at the end of the lesson real briefly. And next year, if we decide that we're going to do that theme on love, loving one another, we're going to end up looking at a lot of these one another passages that I'm going to show you this morning very briefly. But I want to keep connecting the dots here with you a little bit. Look at the next verse in verse 29. Where he says that we ought not let any corrupt talk come out of our mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Our words are for one another, to build up one another, to give grace to one another. So, again, the focus is not just putting off this old man. You know, I used to speak in a very disparaging manner, a very critical manner. I used to use cuss words and talk down on people. And judge people and harshly treat people. But now my words are no longer corrupting talk. Now my words build up. Now my words edify. Now my words give grace to those who hear because I'm walking in love now. I really do believe that everything that he says here in this section of Scripture about putting on the new man, just as you have learned, just as you have been taught about Jesus, you're imitating Jesus. You're being recreated in the image of God. And so you're walking in love. It all focuses in on that concept. So continue down. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were. It's like saying, don't go against everything that God stands for. And what does God stand for? He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. That's not what God stands for. God didn't want any part of that. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So he continues to appeal to the great sacrifice of Christ. You've learned Christ this way. God so loved the world that he gave his beloved, his only begotten Son. And so we give, we love, we build up, we edify. We don't tear down. And so we're kind to one another, tender-hearted and forgiving. And then, as he says in verse 2, in verses 1 and 2, be imitators of God and walk in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So what you're seeing here is the new man, being putting on the new man, is connected with treating people a certain way. It's the whole focus of this new man section is how we treat people, how we think about people, how we love people. And I'm saying that the testing ground that God has for us in putting on Christ and really serving Him is the church. This is where we treat one another in love. We walk in love. Now, granted, it's not just the church. We're going to love our neighbor outside the church. We're going to love our family at home. And so that concept, I'm not saying, is missing from here. But I'm saying that the focus of the scriptures in all of these one another passages that we're going to be looking at is loving the family of God, one another, one another, one another. So here we are. I got a much larger family today than I had 40 years ago. And down through the years, my family has been vast. I have a vast family all throughout the country, throughout the world even, of brethren in Christ. And so my family has broadened greatly since I became a Christian. And along the way, what do you think has happened? I've been tested by God, by my family. And that's what happens with all of us. Because we're human beings, and because we fail, and because we're carnal, and because we have issues with the flesh, and because we don't always behave like we ought to behave, because we're challenging sometimes, we're tested. We're tested to walk in love toward one another. That's God's intention. That's what God wants. That's what He's doing in us in order to help us to become more like His Son, who was tested beyond belief by people. In fact, I remember on one occasion, I can't remember the exact quotation or the scripture reference, but He said, "How long am I going to have to put up with this untoward generation?" That's what Jesus said. I think He was a little frustrated because He was being tested by people. And He became the ultimate servant. So let's look in Philippians chapter 2. And I'll just read these verses that I have up on the board very quickly just to emphasize what God is all about and what He wants of us, similar to last week. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another," Jesus said. Romans 13, Paul said, "Owe no man anything except to love one another." You think that's for emphasis? Owe no man anything except to love him, to love one another. "Love does no harm to a neighbor," he said in verse 10. "Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." So you see God's focus. You see what God is like. God is love, and He wants to test us, to develop us, to renew us in the spirit of our minds, to recreate us in His image, in the image of His Son. And because now you are in the family of God, because you have a much bigger family than you've ever had before, you are going to be tested. And you're going to grow in your love. And you're going to become more like Jesus. And as a result of that, you are going to become a servant like Jesus. That's the emphasis. And so Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Through love serve one another. We don't just come to church. We don't just darken the doorstep. We don't just punch our time card. We don't just come together on the Lord's Day. And that's religion. Far from it. Yes, we come together. Yes, we assemble. It's important. It's part of loving one another. But the idea that God has for us is to serve one another. Serve like Jesus served. And so in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Philippians 2 and verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. You think that's not a test? You're more important than I am. That's not what my flesh wants to say. My flesh says, I'm more important than you. What I want, what I need, what I think, and so on. And so through love, serve one another. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then he brings it all together in Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. That word form there is the idea of essence. Not physical form, but essence, nature. He became a servant. He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. See, that's God's way. You become a servant, and then he exalts you. We want to be exalted now. But he says, become a servant, and I will exalt you. He would say of the Pharisees, they have their reward now. You be seeking that reward in heaven. You become a servant like Christ. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. And so in this text, you see the idea of counting others as better. Now what I'm going to do is just briefly go through a number of one another passages with you, only for impact, not because I expect you to remember them. But we're going to probably study them a lot next year. But the impact I want you to see here is on the idea of one another. You're not just coming to church. It's about your love for one another. It's about serving one another. And so look at some of these. Be devoted to one another. Romans 12 and verse 10. Give preference to one another. Simple one another commands. Be devoted. Be kindly affectioned one to another is another translation. Give preference to one another in honor. Be of the same mind with one another. The idea of harmony. Be of the same mind. In what sense? We don't think alike, do we? Yes, we do. In Christ, we're of the same mind. We have the same mind of Christ. And so maintain that harmony. Maintain that unity with one another. Value that. Elevate that. Exalt that. That's what it's all about, is being of the same mind. I'm going to heaven. You're going to heaven. We're serving God. We're doing it together. I've got weaknesses. You've got weaknesses. We're going to be patient with one another and suffer long with one another. And we're going to help each other. And we're not going to be harsh toward each other, because we love, because we're serving one another. Be submissive to one another. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, all of you be submissive to one another. That means I'm going to give up my wants for the sake of your wants at times, isn't it? That's what it means. I'm going to submit myself to you. I'm going to meet your need is the general idea there. Be submissive to one another. I'm going to meet your need and submit my will to your will. Be at peace with one another. In the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul's talking about your leaders and how you need to know them and honor them and so forth and hold them in high esteem because of their work that they do. And then he says, be at peace with one another. Interesting connection there, right? You want to help your leaders? Be at peace with one another. Right? Be at peace with one another. How do you do that? You serve. You love. You give. You sacrifice. Because you're being recreated in the image of God. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're not just coming to church. You're a servant now. You're letting God develop you into a servant. And so you're going to bear with one another, Paul says in Ephesians 4 when he talks about maintaining the unity of the Spirit. You're going to bear with one another because that's what it takes to maintain the unity of the Spirit. You're going to have to put up with me. And I'm going to have to put up with you. And that's easy to do most of the time, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a challenge. Sometimes it's a test. Jesus says, I already mentioned, how long do I have to bear with is the word there. How long do I have to put up with this untoward generation? Sometimes it's a challenge. So guess what? That's a test of our love for one another. God is trying to recreate in us Jesus and his great patience. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. We already read that in Ephesians 4. Receive one another, not for the purpose of arguing about doubtful things. Romans 14 is talking about maintaining unity in the congregation and not judging one another over opinions. That's something. Because I've seen it, some brethren will get opinions sometimes, and they'll be very strong about their opinions because they're absolutely convinced they're right. And anybody who disagrees with them is just off. They're just not thinking right. And that can cause a lot of problems. That's what he means when he says, receive one another. God has approved their works. In other words, we're all brethren. We're all trying to be of the same mind and the same judgment. There may be things that we disagree about in terms of judgment areas, and we need to be willing to receive one another, not for the purpose of arguing about doubtful opinions. Well, I'm not doubtful about my opinion. Well, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to treat your brother? Are you going to serve? Are you going to love? Or are you going to be harsh and dogmatic about your opinion? And then continuing on, have compassion for one another. Sympathy. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. All of these deserve a lot of attention. This one in particular. It's in the context of helping one another when we're found in sin. That's the context. You know, bear one another's burdens. Right before that, he says, if anyone's overtaken in a trespass, let you who are spiritual restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. That is a burden. You know what? When you're overtaken in a trespass, you have a burden. And I got to bear it with you. If I love you, if I'm going to serve you, why? Because we're of the same mind. We want to go to the same place. We want to be in heaven with God. We want to serve God. We want to be good Christians and become servants. So I got to bear your burden with you because I need to help you. You're bearing the burden of sin that you need to repent of and turn away from. Show hospitality to. Doesn't mean just have somebody into your home. The idea of hospitality is take care of, help out. And usually it's in connection with strangers, people who are sojourners or people who you don't know very well at all. I would suggest to you that we can extrapolate that principle a little bit into those whom we may not be as familiar with in the church, even. Reach out to some people that you don't know all that well, who might, or people who might have a little bit more of a need for that kind of attention and help and friendship, because they might be isolated somewhat to some degree. They might not have the kind of connections here that other people have in the family of God, and they might be kind of on the outskirts a little bit and need some hospitality shown to them. Pray for one another, James says, that you may be healed. We do a good job of emphasizing that here, I think. A good job of emphasizing the importance of that. Let's make sure we're doing that. Not just when we assemble, but because we serve and love one another, build up one another, encourage, exhort one another, teach, admonish one another, stir up one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I guess what I'm showing you here, just in this long list here, is the emphasis that God places upon the family of God. And that really was my main point this morning, was to elevate that concept in our minds that God sees the family of God at Middleburg as the testing ground wherein you put on Christ, where He recreates you in the image of His Son, where you are challenged to become a servant and a lover of others. And so the family of God is your precious place, so to speak, for lack of a better term, your precious body of people that you learn how to become more like Christ by serving them and helping them. So I guess in my mind, the idea was I want to elevate the concept of membership, association with, serving, in getting involved, being a part of, looking out for one another. I wanted to elevate that in our minds because that's what God elevates in His Word. And that's the new man that He wants us to put on. There's some other one another passages we'll deal with next year, Lord willing. Love does no harm. We don't judge one another, complain against one another, grumble and dispute with one another, speak evil of one another, bite and devour one another, lie to one another. Why? Because none of those actions are loving. They're all harmful to one another. So I appreciate your good attention this morning. You may be here this morning and not yet a Christian, and I hope what you've sensed this morning is what God is trying to do. He's trying to save you through His love from your sins. And then He's trying to recreate you. He's trying to renew you. He wants you to become like His Son. That's His purpose, that we might become conformed to the image of His Son. John says in 1 John 3, we don't know that what we're going to be like, but we know that we're going to be like Him. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So that's what God's trying to do. And so are you willing to let God recreate you? Are you willing to let God save you? Then obey the gospel of Christ. If you know what you need to do that, let us know this morning. Or if you'd like the prayers of the congregation.